Hello everyone, good evening. Welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McKeown and I will be chairing this meeting. A couple of points before we start. If you have a mobile phone, please switch it off or onto silent. And can I ask members of the public in the gallery to refrain from commenting during discussions around the table. If there is any disruption, you may be invited to leave the room. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from Law and Governance. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes, and I will indicate when they have 1 minute to go. Ward members are entitled to speak up to 5 minutes, and again, will give you a shout when there is a minute to go. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which will be available and published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy the immunity as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them, in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. So we move on to the agenda proper. And we have minutes, two lots, 27th of November. Anyone want to propose? Roy and second? Yeah. Good to sign then? And also we have minutes from the special planning meeting on Tuesday, the 10th of December. Anyone would propose those? Gareth Jones, and seconded by Hobbs. Good to sign. Thank you very much. Declarations of members' interests or lobbying. Tony?
You lobbied on the second.
You lobbied on the second. Anyone? And Councillor Fordham? Councillor Beattie?
Just on the first item, I don't know if I need to declare this or not, but I've been involved in the past 2 or 3 years, not recently, in ideas for creating a historic area down Sandon Road and Marston Road. There's a group of local people who are very enthusiastic, and our own heritage advisors have been involved with it as well. It doesn't specifically deal with this building.
Okay, I don't think that's an interest as such, is it?
No. Providing you're not predetermined or leaning either way.
No, I was predetermined in the sense of creating a historic area for that.
But not specifically this application. Okay. Right. Okay. So it's application number. Delegated applications. And planning application, page 3 on your agenda, application number 21/33706, the Emerald Club, 31 Marston Road, called in by Councillor Aidan Godfrey. Is this you, Sean?
That's me.
Yeah, okay.
Before we start looking at these slides and go through the presentation, a couple of updates. You may be aware that a new version of the MPPF was published last week on the 12th of December. The report set out in the agenda before you were written prior to the updated MPPF, and therefore the references within the reports are actually now out of date. So for clarification, all references to the MPPF in the report should now refer to the MPPF 2024 and not 2023. With regard to this first application at the Emerald Club, there's a couple of paragraphs where the numbering has changed. So in the character, appearance and heritage section of the report, it should now refer to paragraphs 127 and 128. It's previously 126 and 127, so it's just one digit out. In the amenity section, paragraph 203 is now 204, and paragraph 209 is now 216. The informative notes that go at the end of most applications also now need to refer to the MPPF 2024. So to be clear, the substantive matters of the application are not affected by these changes. It's just small changes to the numbering. There's no real sort of change in terms of the consideration. Further update on this application is the conditions attached to this application on the reasons attached to conditions 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7, which is on page 18 of the agenda. The reasons should read, to safeguard the historic character and appearance of this undesignated heritage asset in its setting. It shouldn't refer to the Staffordshire Extensive Urban Survey, as stated in the report. Essentially, the Staffordshire Extensive Urban Survey was produced by the County Council back in 2009 and updated in 2011. The document's a historic character assessment, which covers 28 historic urban character areas in Stafford, but it's not adopted policy, so we shouldn't be referring it in the reasons. So, as I say, the reasons attached to conditions 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7 need to omit the reference to that document.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, moving on. The first application, 21-3-3706, it relates to the Emerald Club on the Marston Road. The application site comprises a four-storey building, which includes a subterranean basement, and the application proposes to convert the building into 9 two-bedroom apartments. The application originally sought permission for 10 apartments and included a new stair tower extension built to the rear, which was west facing. The extension was omitted from the scheme and reduced to 9 units. The building in question is a former shoe factory of the late 19th century. The building is not in a conservation area and it's not listed. The building is currently vacant and it's in need of a long-term viable use going forward to ensure its preservation. This application requires minimal external alterations to the building, therefore its character is being retained and no objections are being raised by the conservation officer. So the first plan, we've got the red edge, and red edge plan, you can see the building stretches along the Marston Road. You see there edged in red. We've got an aerial view again showing the location of the building. Got quite a number of photographs of the building. So image one is the southern elevation of the building, which faces onto Fatty Walk. Image two is a part rear elevation of the building showing later additions which were added on, which are to be retained as part of the scheme. That's also a rear elevation. The photograph's been taken looking south. This is the main elevation of the building, which fronts onto Marston Road. You can see the windows at the basement level are currently bricked up. Some of these windows are to be reopened to allow light into the bedrooms and other areas of the development. Image 5, another rear elevation, it's the northern section. The photograph was taken from Rowley Street. And then finally we've got another photograph taken looking at the main Marston Road elevation. So the first plan we've got shows the location of the building on Marston Road. And then we've got plan two, which is probably not very clear to you, but it's basically the floor plans at each floor of the building. So at basement level, as previously said, the existing bricked up windows would be opened up to serve bedrooms. The basement, part of the basement level would be infilled to external pavement level to allow cycles and bins to be level threshold. and apartments 1, 2 and 3 are located at basement and ground floor. So we've got three apartments across basement and ground floor level. You probably can't see the detail, but on the ground floor we've got quite a big area, so to the back of the building, top there, ground floor, which shows cycle racks for around 14 bikes. There's also an area for motorcycles and for the bins to be kept off the street. There's also two additional small cycle storage areas on the ground and first floor level. The first and second floors contain apartments 4, 5 and 6 and 7, 8 and 9 respectively. So it's recommended as part of the application that the windows to the western elevation should be obscure glazed and non-opening unless the window is 1.7 metres above the floor of the room. So that. To the west of the site, the windows are along that elevation, so there is a residential development sitting to the west of the building. So the final plan shows the proposed elevations. So as I've previously mentioned, there's minimal alterations to the building. The windows that you can see that have been edged in a sort of darker brown colour are new windows, and there's a new louvered door at ground floor, but essentially the building is being retained to keep its character, and no extension proposed under this scheme. Okay, in terms of the issues, it's important to remember that given that the building exists in its current form, and any future users of or occupiers would have access to all windows, so it's considered that the window to window separation distances with the development surrounding the building is acceptable given the context of the uses. As previously mentioned, there is a condition to obscure glaze and restrict the opening of the windows to the west elevation. No parking is proposed with this application. According to the car parking standards in the local plan, this development would require 12 spaces. However, the site is close to the town centre and to public transport. In addition, the full back of the building is a licensed club, which they could reuse at any point in time, would have a higher demand for car parking spaces in terms of parking standards than the flats. As previously pointed out, cycle storage is proposed within the development, so it's encouraging sustainable transport. It's easy to walk into Stafford or to public transport from this location. No objections are raised by Environmental Health, Natural England, the Environment Agency or the Biodiversity Officer. The application is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed, with the changes previously mentioned to the reasons to conditions 3-7.
Thanks, Sean. Just before we move on, just to confirm, we've got a couple of substitutes, which I didn't mention earlier on. Councillor Roy James is substituting for Councillor Brian Cross, and Councillor Francis Beattie is substituting for Councillor Marnie Phillips. Sorry, I got that the wrong way around. Okay, we have a supporter, I believe, for this application, a Mr. Christopher Timothy. Thank you. Settle yourself in, and when you're ready, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Chairman and members of the committee, good evening. As your planning officer has just relayed to you, this application proposes the residential conversion of a vacant former shoe factory of 19th century construction, which is recognised as an undesignated heritage asset. The proposed residential use can be introduced without extension or significant alteration to its external appearance, thus maintaining its special character. The site lies within the development boundary for Stafford. It is in a most sustainable most sustainable location within walking distance of Stafford Town Centre to have good accessibility to services and facilities by walking, cycling and public transport. The building is currently vacant. The proposal will secure a long-term viable use to ensure its future preservation. The last lawful use of the building, as has just been discussed, included the licensed club with bar, function rooms, and a dance studio and gym. There are no restrictions imposed on operating hours. The building could be occupied and in use from early morning to late evening. The building could be brought back into this use without planning permission, and it could also be used to similar uses within use class C, which could include public house, wine bar, other drinking establishments, commercial business and service uses. Any future user or occupiers, as your officer just suggested, will have access to all of the windows. In order to safeguard the living conditions of the neighbours, there is a condition proposed which is supported by the applicant to deliver obscure glazing within the western elevation. In terms of highways, the proposed residential use would represent a reduction in demand for car parking over the current lawful use of the premises as a private licensed club. This represents a genuine fallback position. As I've already said, it's within easy walking distance of Stafford Town Centre, so it's not necessary to rely on a private car to undertake everyday activities.
Yeah, 1 minute to go.
There is the choice to do so by public transport. And you will note from your report that Staffordshire Highways have no objection to this proposal. So in conclusion, the proposal secures the beneficial use of a vacant non-designated heritage asset. It's in the most sustainable location. The proposal will have less impact on the current lawful use in terms of the amount of activity and the amount of parking it would generate. The proposed development can take place without causing harm to the natural built and historic environment. The proposal is entirely consistent with those policies in your local plan concerned with residential development in the town centre and bringing buildings back into beneficial use. In these circumstances, please grant planning permission subject to the conditions recommended by your officers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Timothy. Well timed. Board Member Aidan Godfrey. Thank you, Chair. You have 5 minutes.
A walk? Actually, before I start, it was very interesting to hear what Councillor Beattie was saying about the conservation of potential conservation area. And it's an important thing to bear in mind, members, that this area is the heart of the shoemaking industry, or was the heart of the shoemaking industry in Stafford, and as such should be protected. It's the heritage of our town, and many of the families that live here are families working in this area for many, many years. So it's in two ways. I was quite pleased that I saw this application come through, and I'm quite pleased that the outside of the building will stay the same, because it's important and it does remain and keep the character of the area. But I hope Councillor Beattie will speak after me and hopefully say some good words regarding the work that's been taking place by some historical society members in this area to preserve it.
I'm not prejudicing myself by answering, am I?
You can answer later.
Not yet.
There are some things I'd like to comment on, and they relate mainly to the conditions of the application. As you would have seen from one of the pictures there, I think you can go back to the picture where it was at the side of the building and the neighbour's car was outside. There we go. The car is parked there. That's actually the property of someone who backs onto here. And that runs the length, practically, of the building. Now, as you can see, there is no gap between where the building is and where their property starts. So there is some concern from the residents there that not only will there be an overlooking issue, which I think has been mentioned before, there'll also be concerns regarding the construction of the site and while it's changing its use. So they're concerned that there'll be debris going into their property. They're concerned that there could be damage to their property. And obviously, you can see how close they are. There'll be a noise nuisance as well, the dust, etc. So they're very concerned about that. And they've asked me to mention this, and more than delighted to do so. I think it's relevant. Again, it goes back to making sure the conditions are robust, so while construction is taking place, you have a mind to pass this application, that people's lives aren't blighted by the actual conversion itself. It's been mentioned about parking. Now, I believe this particular application has no on-site parking. We keep having reference to the previous use of this building, and there'll be less movements of what it's lawfully intended to use at the moment is. Well, actually, there will be quite frequent movements what it was in its past life. It was a club, there was people coming and going. It was a religious building, people were coming and going. What you will find now is that people living there, their vehicles will be there for a considerably longer period of time than it would have been in its previous uses. So I think you really have to bear that in mind. It says in the report that off-street parking is not an issue, obviously I'll paraphrase, is not an issue as long as it's suitable public transport. And it was mentioned by the supporter that it's in walking distance of the town. It's in walking distance of the town if you're able-bodied.
1 minute, Councillor
Cosfrey. 1 minute. You're kidding.
Yeah.
Well, it's just got going to. The parking, the public transport aspect of it is concerning because, and it's something I deal with on a regular basis as a ward member, there are no buses on Marston Road and Common Road. There is no public transport that would take you into the town apart from taxis. And to me, that if you haven't got a vehicle, that's going to trap you there, but that's your decision. But if you do have a vehicle, because you want to get somewhere else, the town centre, etc., you're going to have to travel and you'll need your vehicle. So there will be a parking issue. The area around there is obviously all Victorian road structure, road layouts. Yes, I believe that the road layout one-way system was looking at again. It is a big problem, especially at school times, coming and going in the morning and the evening. There are more cars on the road and there are more car movements because of this.
Begin to wrap up now. Okay.
I should wrap up and I should get to a very important point, Chair.
Okay.
It says in the report that there'll be a condition on the timing of the construction of the development. I'd like to ask if the committee will, if they have a mind to approve this application, to amend that to make it 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday to Friday, just work, and Saturday 9 until 2. Far more to say, run out of time, leave it there, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Godfrey. Thank you. You can stay there if you want to. Yeah.
Stay
there. Good.
I've never done this before.
Okay, we've heard, and Councillor Spencer is in there straight away. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I do have some issues with the parking. I don't have to dispute the original assertion that there was more car parking before, more cars, because of course, as the board member stated, that these cars will be staying for at least 12 hours at night. Where are they all going to go? There's two bedrooms per flat, which could be two separate people with vehicles. 9, that's 18 vehicles potentially. Where are they going to park? There's nowhere to park around. But although I do welcome that this building is going to be brought back into use, to put ring parking would mean a significant redesign, possibly using basements, I don't know. But if we were of a mind to pass this, my thoughts were that there should be at least an allocation of parking for at least a vehicle for disabled access, whatever it may be, by using that rear entrance that we can see there. could a car parking space be made in that section there to allow for instance deliveries? How are people going to move in? Where are vehicles going to park to get furniture in, to even get their clothes in? I just don't understand this. Yeah, where section number 5, the arrow's pointed, that long space there, could a car park space be made?
I think it would be quite tight. Mm.
Tight is better than nothing. But that's my view.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Andy McNaughton.
On the parking issue, we're assuming everybody's going to have a car, and I don't think that's a valid assumption, because people who tend to buy, say, properties in town or when it's going to be rented, I'm not sure, but they sometimes get that property because they haven't got a car. So I don't think we should assume that everybody who wants to live there will have a car. So that affects the parking, you know, reduces the amount of parking. And other people who live around there are similar parking issues. We seem to manage to park it somewhere, and the only other option is if we don't pass it, it just carries on being a building, it'll get more and more derelict. So that's my point on that.
Councillor Ian Fordham.
Thanks, Chair. So in general, I welcome the potential of the building and its potential improvement. I have two questions really. I'd like some clarification on a couple of issues. One is relates to condition 12, which is the obscure glazing of the windows, which I think has been referred to 7 times. Can I just confirm, using image 5, which is the first floor? Which floor are we talking about there?
So the obscure glazed windows would be to all windows in the western elevation, which is effectively the... it's not easy to see it on the plan. So the western elevation, so towards the properties, obviously you've got Marston Road, the building, this
yeah,
side of the building. So, yeah. So it's
okay,
all,
so
it's all windows to that elevation.
And the second relates to the bin storage.
So
might seem fairly dry,
yeah,
but on plan 2, I think it's plan 2 and plan 3, could somebody explain exactly where the bin store is there and how residents access it and how the bins will be moved out to the street for collections? Because when I tried to look at this on the portal, it wasn't very clear. You couldn't expand the plan sufficiently. So I just wanted to confirmation that it's, or clarification, that it's actually a valid solution to the bin storage.
It's the far left image there, the basement.
So the basement levels
top, yeah,
to be infilled to external pavement level.
Yeah.
So
this is the top left of that diagram.
That's yep.
With,
so the
with a diagonal line.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So you've got the 4 floors, there's the second one in on the plan.
Yeah.
So the where you've got the basement, that would be
okay,
infilled, so that it's that floor would be level with the pavement, so you could wheel a cycle in or wheel the bin in.
Okay, and how do residents on the first floor, for example, first and ground floor, how do they access that bin storage? I'm just trying to assure myself it's a practical solution.
Presuming they would have to go down and out and in into that area. But it's a positive that the bins are off, being retained off the street,
no,
because
absolutely,
that is a huge problem, as you're aware. And the fact that we've got such a, you know, quite a big area for cycle storage is obviously a positive.
Yeah, no, I see both of those, and I know bin storage is quite a hot topic, so moving it off the street is indeed good news. It's just that I couldn't see how they could access it without leaving the building and re-entering the building.
I think
that's
essentially how it would have to be
done,
but obviously we're working here with a building that's in place, and
yeah,
you've got to work, you've
that's
got to work with
fair them. Enough, I just wanted to understand it. Thanks.
Councillor Anne Hobbs.
I mean, on balance, I think we should approve it. We'll preserve it. I mean, I think it'll look quite smart, like some of the other buildings around there, which have been turned into apartments. I'm sure it will lift the area. And left, it will just gradually degrade, won't it? But I do think that that we ought to look at the noise and put in further restrictions, because an 8 o'clock start on a Saturday is quite grim, isn't it? They're going to be banging away, and there's going to be a lot of noise.
So the condition that's gone on, which
it says 8 till 6 and
so
8 till 2 on,
that's generally the standard hours that Environmental Health would recommend. Obviously, if you wanted to recommend that those hours are changed,
could we?
I think as long as they're still leaving, you know, reasonable working hours. I mean, they are, you know, the building is very close to other properties, so I don't think that would be unreasonable.
I don't think so, especially if you've got a family in that house adjacent to it. And it shows a bit of goodwill, doesn't it, really?
Councillor Francis Beattie? Are you proposing a change to the
hours? 9 till 5 and 9 till 2 on a Saturday.
I'll support that, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's close, isn't it?
No. Councillor Francis Beattie?
Thank you, Chairman. Just thinking of the area, as Councillor Godfrey said, it's a very important part of Stafford, in that it's the last really important part of where the shoe industry took place. These buildings are either the factories or the little houses, the terraced houses that the workers used. And so the building itself is to my mind extremely important, and more important than that is that the building should survive unaltered on its face, so that whatever is done to meet modern conditions inside, that we don't lose the historic character of the building, which is what we're trying to do with the buildings right across Marston Road, Sandon Road, Fancy Walk and all the rest of it. As Councillor Godfrey says, I would dearly love to see it become the whole area become a conservation area at some time. But it does seem to me that this building is important, first of all, for the reasons I just said, but secondly, because it's two-bedroomed apartments, and we're short of those. They meet the needs that a lot of the house building taking place in Stafford isn't meeting. And because it's in town, it has all the advantages for people who can't afford cars and so on to have a home of their own. And so, for me, it just makes sense that the conversion should be allowed to take place.
Yeah.
Councillor Scott Spencer, then Councillor Roy James.
So one clarification back to this parking and the bins area as well, that's picked up on. On the plans, it shows motorbike and cycle access to the basement area. So I presume motorbikes are going to access from the top left corner.
They'd have to be pushed in the same way as a normal bike.
So is there any detail on how that's going to be affected? Obviously, there's going to be motorbikes coming across pavements on that junction. Is there detail on the gates that are going to be allowed access there? I notice there's a telegraph pole and a road sign in that area.
I don't know what's actually at that entrance.
If you go back to one of the photographs, the one that shows to the that showed the neighbour's car, that one there. You've got that telegraph pole, you've got the road sign there, so presumably all bins, motorbikes, cycles are going to be going through where that hoarding is now. So is there a detail for how that is going to, is there going to be double gates, is there going to be, how's it going to affect the neighbour, is there going to be a dropped curb?
Only got the detail that's shown on that plan.
It shows no detail.
What sort of detail are you looking for?
Some sort of clarification on how that's going to work. Are the gates going to be opening inwards and going to be a drop curb allowed for motorbikes to get in and for bins to be able to be moved out?
As I said, it's been infilled anyway to the pavement level, so presumably if it's
it's been lifted up to pavement level to access the yard area to the left. However, how they then get from that yard to the pavement to the road with a motorbike or cycles or whatever it may be?
Just have to walk it round onto the pavement.
I think you're missing my point.
I think I might be.
there's hoarding there now, the telegraph pole.
Yeah.
Halfway across it. So presumably that telegraph pole's going to have to go. The hoarding's going to have to go. The signpost is designating the road name is going to have to go. So how is that being dealt with?
Can I ask Mr. Timothy if he might want to respond to some of those questions?
If you put the photograph back up showing the telegraph pole and the sign, I think you'll find that the telegraph pole is actually right on the boundary between the two, and there's a gap to the left of it. To allay the councillor's concerns, I think there could be a condition that simply requires details of any gates and any curbs to be submitted prior to commencement of development or something along those lines.
We could condition a detail for access to cycle and bin storage area.
But I don't think the access is blocked off by that's not a hoarding, that's just a short section of fence. Right on the boundary between the two properties, and I don't think that telegraph pole would prevent motorbikes or bins being taken in and out of the yard area.
I appreciate that. I think it's more the curb, the drop curb, and allowing some sort of access to that is safe, because currently it's just a curb, no way to bike, it's could safely access that area. So I'd like a condition applied for that if possible.
Just looking here at Google Maps, there's a drop curb which extends almost across that where it says Rowley Street.
It extends up to the telegraph pole.
To there, yeah.
So then the telegraph pole, as the applicant said, is on the boundary.
So you could swing off that drop curb, hang a left and a sharp right, and you're into the...
Not with the motorbike, you know.
It depends on how big the motorbike is, doesn't it?
So there is already.
Who else wants to speak?
There's a drop curve for the access to the house next door, but not for that property specifically. Mm. There's also a metal bollard next to that, in the middle of the pavement, between the telegraph pole and where the lamppost is. If you look at Google Maps, it's very restricted.
Motorcyclists will probably find the easiest route around it.
I was just wondering if we're going to be poked down in the detail here, and whether we're better off. I mean, the developer, when they come to build it, I would imagine they're going to do
a
satisfactory job there. I'm not sure it's our job to get down to that level of detail.
We're arguing for an hour difference in timing. Surely that's detail.
Yeah.
That's significant detail. This is just a drop curve.
Yeah, Councillor, Mr. Timothy has said that a condition to have that detail about the boundary treatment and the drop curb can be put in.
Thank you, Chair.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I was just going to comment if the occupant, is it going to be rented or for sale? And if it, either of those, if it's made that there is no parking, then people have to make up their own mind, because if they want to either rent or purchase it. You know, it's one of those things, you know, there is no parking, I've got a car, well then I'm not going to buy that, I'll go elsewhere.
It's a buyer beware situation, really.
Lifestyle. Councillor Francis Beattie.
Can I propose that we approve this application with the drop curb
the detail.
So the additional condition is to require detail of the access to the bin storage and cycle area.
And the boundary.
And the timing as well.
Seconded by
number 9, page
17,
number 9.
She has to clarify whether it includes the
Okay, right, Councillor Beattie. The timing, is that part of your proposal as well.
Well, if that's what the majority of the committee want, then
so
that's
effectively
it's not the time we put in.
It's effectively an amendment to the existing condition 9.
You said 9 till
9 till 5.
Oh, until 2.
Monday to Friday and Saturday, 9 to 2.
Okay. So I'll second that, the motion that we should approve.
I think Councillor Andy McNaughton was in there first to second, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So do we understand what the conditions are now? Those changes about which Sean referred to earlier on being deleted, the Stafford.
So there were the reasons to the conditions. The reasons to the condition shouldn't be referring to the historic urban character. The Staffordshire Extensive Urban Survey. So that just needs effectively deleting from each of those reasons. But the main bulk of the wording would stay the same.
Okay. Right. So we've got the operating hours, 9 to 5, 9 to 2. We've got. Condition about detail of the access and boundary treatment. All agree? So,
second.
All those in favour of approving subject to that? Okay. What are you abstaining, Alec?
No, I'm against.
Oh, okay. Those against, Councillor Sandiford. Any other against? Any other abstentions? No? Okay, thank you. Noted.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Aidan. Thank you.
Chairman, I've just got to go and send a quick text.
Okay, right. Honestly, you young people are always texting.
My daughter and granddaughter have just survived the storm, the earthquake. In
oh, right. You're going to make, check them out. Okay, right, so we now move on to Carlton. Sorry, we'll have to wait for Francis to come back. If anyone wants to take this moment to do something, grab a mince pie.